Evening, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I like that. Thank you. It is great to be together this evening. And I was sitting in the back of the room, and sometimes I lose sight. I don't know if lose sight is the right phrase, but just the joy and the everything that we do, the festivities around this time of year, but there's also a weight to it, right? The God of the universe enters into time and space in the form of a baby for our sake, for the sake of relationship with us. And it just all came crashing in on me back there. So I hope between the music and being together and a few words from God's word that you might feel some of what that weight is. And I want to get started by telling you a little bit about a friend of mine who I would refer to as a grammar enthusiast. There are other phrases we could throw in there, but we'll just call her a grammar enthusiast. So much so that when I was in grad school, I would have her proofread my papers for me. She would get the red pen out and the whole deal. And one of the things that she was emphatic about was the proper use of words, not just like your, Y-O-U-R, versus your, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, right? Like, that's a big one. But things like eager versus anxious, right? Or jealousy versus envy. Those don't mean the same thing, and we kind of throw them around. And in academia, you get in trouble doing it. Everyday language, not a big deal. I get a little bit more concerned when the words, we had that slide up there with the four words, right? Joy, love, hope, and peace. And we do a number on those words. And those words are some of the most frequent words we use to describe Jesus, and especially this time of year. We confuse joy with happiness. We confuse love with like. We confuse hope with wish. We confuse peace with just somebody not annoying us, right? Convenience. But those words are so important because Jesus came bringing those things to us and for us. But not just for us, but that they would flow through us to the people that we encounter. So it's really important that we get our brains around what those words mean. And we've been spending this December talking about those things. I shared with you how the biblical idea of joy is the knowledge that somebody's glad to be with you, and especially Jesus is glad to be with you. And this past weekend, Leanne shared with us the idea of determined love, the self-sacrificing will to work to secure the good of another, even our enemies, especially our enemies. And the idea of peace we're going to talk about on Sunday, which is this wholeness that comes only through a relationship with Jesus. And tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about hope. And we often, like I said, exchange hope for that word wish. And in biblical terms, the word hope is so much more than that. It's a confident expectation in a specific good that is so strong that it will drive action. Hope, let me say that again. Hope is confident expectation in a specific good that is so strong, like it's already happened, even though it's not there, that drives a specific action. And the accounts of Jesus' birth in the Gospels are filled with people who have placed their hope in God. They're waiting for a specific good. They're waiting for Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. And it affects their behavior. It affects the things that they do. Most famously, of course, is Mary. Mary, who was a teenager, engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. And she has a visit from the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel says to her that you are going to give birth to the Son of God. And she's like, wait a second. I'm a virgin. I'm not really sure how that's going to happen. Gabriel says the Holy Spirit is going to do that in his power. And he finishes his little message to her by saying, and we put that up. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 37. No word from God will ever fail. Listen to the all-inclusiveness of that phrase. No word from God will ever fail. And that's what we see throughout the other accounts of Jesus's birth. We see people moving and acting upon this belief that God does what he says he's going to do. Every Christmas, I try to bring up these two characters who almost always get forgotten in the Christmas story. A guy named Simeon and a guy named Anna. I'm going to read you their stories right from the scriptures. This is Luke chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Scholars tell us that's kind of code for Simeon was an old guy. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, after a specified period of time, parents of newborn children had to bring them to the temple, and they were consecrated, the firstborn sons. So Simeon took him, baby Jesus, in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Simeon was waiting for the promised Messiah. He was waiting, and he was, you know, we have this account of the angel Gabriel and Mary. It's kind of like this dramatic thing, right? Not many of us have these angelic encounters, especially with Gabriel. But this is Simeon just going about his business, walking with God in the day in and day out of his life. And he felt that little nudge from the Holy Spirit. And so he acted on it, and he went to the temple. And as he got to the temple, there was Jesus with his parents. Simeon acted on God's word as if it were already true. And he got to experience firsthand the baby Jesus and the Messiah. This is the story of Anna. It comes right after this in the book of Luke. There was also a prophetess, or a prophet, simply a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, them is the Jesus and his parents. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The dramatic interaction between Mary and Gabriel. Simeon, who was just doing the best that he could to follow God as he knew how. Anna, who had a life of hardship. There was nothing, maybe no greater hardship that could befall a woman in first century Jerusalem than to be widowed. She was married for 7 years. She spent the rest of her life as a widow, and she spent it doing the things that her people had done for centuries, waiting on God to fulfill his word. Because she believed that if God said he's going to do something, he will do it. He will absolutely do it. No word from God will ever fail. So Jesus comes and he launches his kingdom. In the past couple weeks, we've shared with you the things that the Old Testament prophets have said and the things that Jesus himself had said that what he was going to do. He was going to bring good news to the poor. He was going to comfort the brokenhearted. He was going to release the prisoners, give freedom to the prisoners, and he was going to bring good news to those who were far away. And so we celebrate the birth of the Messiah and that he brought those things into the first century. But we also celebrate the ongoing work of his kingdom. He still does those things for you and for me. He wants to comfort the lonely. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to bring good news to the poor. He wants to free the prisoner, and he wants to welcome those who are far off, the marginalized, and those who most everybody else had forgotten about. And that list throws a pretty big blanket. I think all of us can relate to one phrase or another, like Leanne shared this past week, that's in that phrase. And those are the things that Jesus still does. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we make such a big deal about the birth of Jesus, because those he brought those things as a reality into this dark world. So while he launched his kingdom is not yet consummated. It's not complete. We still are in a world that is broken and dark. And sometimes we need reminders of what God's word says. God's word tells us that Jesus is the light. And maybe there's no more enduring symbol of hope, especially this time of year, than a candle. It's a small flame, right? And all it takes to break the darkness is one small flame. And as you're going to see in a minute, what's even more amazing is when there's lots of little small flames, what it can do to a dark place. So we light these candles and we remember the words of the Gospel of John. This is John chapter 1. In him, Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So a few folks are going to bring out some candles for you guys, or if you guys already have your candles, I want to give you a quick lesson. If you guys have been here before for Christmas Eve, we do this every year. We want to make sure we do this safely. If you do not have the flame yet, okay, you are going to be the candle that moves. If you have the flame, you hold your candle upright. You stay there. The person without the flame, come in thusly. Bring the candle down. All right? We got that? We don't want any wax, unnecessary wax dripping, anybody getting burnt. Go ahead, Kev, Gail, thank you. So as we do this, I would encourage you, my hope and my prayer for each of you is that you would know the hope, the confident expectation that can only be found in Jesus, that you could rest secure in the knowledge that if God says something, he's going to do it, and that your hope, the hope that you have, might be bolstered, knowing that no word from God will ever fail.